Welcome to Down Dork, everyone. My name is Herb Katz. I'm live in my basement. I am joined tonight by none other than Dork Almighty Matt Minar.
Replaced tonight by the Wolfman.
The part of Dork Almighty Matt Minar will be played by...
Werewolf in London.
Matt Minar. And Thank Dan, you. The Master Googler Overton, is also here.
I'm sorry, Frankie.
What was that? Your... Like Dr. Detroit. Doctor. Dr. Detroit. Detroit. Ever see that movie?
No, I'm too young.
It's Dan Aykroyd, I believe. Oh, has to, I guess, become... He's like, some sort of like... can't really remember. Maybe like some kind of suburban white guy or upscale white dude. And he has to become a pimp in the streets of Detroit.
Detroit.
When there weren't more people there.
Is your mic on?
I don't know.
We didn't do a level check.
I don't
check.
Have a switch, so...
How come we didn't do a level check?
Well, let's do it right now.
It appears to be
hold on. One at a time now. One at a time. Here, I'll do mine. Sibilance. Okay, I think I'm all right. Dan?
Phallus. How's that one working?
Bottle.
What?
Bottle?
Ah, crap.
Go get the bottle.
See, I...
Go get the bottle.
We can
talk
about
it. It's too late. She already came downstairs.
Oh. You're in charge
of the water. Running.
I'm totally screwed. I was supposed to go up about 5 or 10 minutes ago with a bottle. I stink.
Oh, it's over.
There's the vote.
I totally suck. I'm sorry, honey. I suck big time. That ought to take care. He does. He burned himself, possibly, on the stove.
Hmm. When did that happen?
Today.
How did that happen?
Only once.
He was crawling along, and Dory was baking, and he stuck his finger in between the stove and the broiler. Where everything else is cool on the outside. He stuck his finger right in there, and he's like,
you know
How
what?
Was he?
You learn real quick that way.
Well, like I said, only once.
Yeah.
Maybe. If he remembers what caused it.
I'm sure he will.
Hey, he might be afraid of the stove for a while, that's all.
I have no problem with that.
Have bad Stephen King type dreams where the stove comes alive and eats the baker, the candlestick maker, and the butcher.
But not necessarily in that order.
I think that was reverse order,
wasn't
it?
The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
Damn, I inverted too as well. Oh, well.
It was reversed, inverted, turned inside out.
Strike that. Reverse it.
Strike that. Reverse it. That's good. Okay, so what do we have tonight?
You gave us an agenda, dude. Well, I was impressed.
So was I, actually.
I was totally full of shit. All right, I do have...
Well, we could invent some stuff.
I have some items. I do have a video clip that a friend of the show sent us. Not Shane, unfortunately, but it is a friend of the show. And she sent us a video.
Logical next question. Is she naked?
It's not a video of her.
Okay.
Per se. But she did
logical
send it.
Next question.
I'm very comfortable with that question. And
nudity.
Right.
Yeah. Most guys are.
Herb's naked right now.
I'm letting it all hang out. I'm doing the show Commando. I am free-balling for this episode of Dialogue.
Those were great high school days, let me just tell you.
High school?
Yeah. We're older than you.
Oh, yeah.
Noob.
Noob.
We were letting it hang out way before you were even born.
I was still in my Superman underwear.
Exactly.
My Spider-Man shirt.
You were still...
You didn't have nothing to hang out.
Right. You were still in underoos.
Testicles hadn't even fallen out.
Underoos.
Hadn't even fallen out. Jerk. Okay, so we do have a video. We have some tales from the Dork side, although they're pretty lame.
I could.
It's mostly about me doing a poor job at a client, probably.
You need to stop doing that.
Well, nothing works at a certain client that you and I visited recently to do some wiring. Nothing works right over there.
I told you.
What did you tell me?
A million times.
What?
Told you?
Yes, I told you.
What? What'd you tell me?
That print thing was not going to work out.
Yeah, that thing I've abandoned already.
Yeah.
It's been pulled out, and we've gone to a whole nother
scenario. So what's not working now?
Yeah, just everything. It's like every day I, you know, get an email or a call saying, like, you know what, I can't print, or you know what, I can't get the internet. I had to, we had to buy her a new computer.
Why?
Because her old computer
didn't support,
couldn't handle a network connection for like more than a day, and then it would just drop it. And eventually, it wouldn't get acquire a new address.
Yeah, you said something about that.
And, you know, that computer was just a mess.
We could wire that room.
Yeah, well, I don't think they want to pay for that.
Okay, that's fine.
So, all I'm saying is, like, it just seems like something is like something every time. I know, and it's driving me crazy because it just seems like all of my clients, like, the fucking sky is falling everywhere.
It's the fall. Everything goes to shit in a handbasket around Halloween.
Yep.
And don't get better until Thanksgiving.
Ow!
Yeah, exactly. And werewolves of Tremont, baby.
Werewolves. Man, I'll Tremont. Tell you what, there's a ghost in the fucking machine, man. There's
in
a
the
ghost.
Shell, dude.
All right, so if you want to see the video, we guess we'll get to that later. What did I say else? What else did I say we had? Oh, we had free software.
Free software,
yeah.
I should make up something about that.
No, I've got one.
Really?
If you Google dfolder.zip, the letter D, the word folder.zip, defolder,
yeah,
.zip, and you'll find I think it's a French site. It's algosoft.fr, algosoft.fr. Anyway, it's the first result in Google. It's a shell extension that allows you to, when you right-click on a folder in Windows and you take the properties, it gives you an extra tab that says size. And it basically calculates the size of the folder, plus will list out, like, it'll show you the whole tree of every subfolder, the size of every subfolder. So it's like when you're trying to figure out why program files is 12 gigs or something, or documents and settings is 8.5 gigs or something like that.
Which
it's a quick way to figure out which users got it and why, and, you know.
I have some software that does the same thing, but we can't tell anybody about it because it's not free.
Oh, well. Why can't we tell anyone?
Tree Size Pro.
Tree Size Pro.
Mm-hmm. So imagine, because
anything that ends in the word pro in software
comes
world,
with a feed.
You're probably
you
right.
have to buy it.
Also very good. It's a GUI interface. Does the same thing. You can scan drives. You can scan folders. I use it just about every day.
Did you ever play Commander Keen?
That was a good game.
Commander Keen. You know what? I had a pirated copy of that. Which one? Was this like an old, like...
Yeah, it was like...
That was John Carmack 46. And John Romero's...
Was it really those guys?
It was those guys.
Really?
Yep. Carmack had figured out how to bring side-scrolling a la the Nintendo Super Mario type thing to the PC.
Okay.
And Commander Keen was the result.
That game was awesome.
Actually, new segment here.
Yeah.
Book of the Week.
Nerd Book of the... Okay, we're going to call this...
We got to come up with a better name.
Dork Almighty's Yawn Fest of the Week.
Yawn Fest of the Week.
Yeah. All right, let's hear about the book.
This is so boring. but seriously, The Masters of Doom, the book about John Carmack and John Romero, and if you're listening to this show, then you should know who they are. If you don't, then you're probably under 20 and need to read some computer gaming history, because those guys were the gods of shareware and initial game genre forming of first-person shooters. They are the ones responsible for Doom, Quake.
Duke Nukem?
No, they did not make Duke
really?
Nukem. That was made by Apogee, whom they were working with at the time. But Duke Nukem was an Apogee title.
Interesting.
So Commander Keen was their first thing, you know, programmed out of Shreveport, Louisiana, a little butt-ass town in the middle of nowhere.
You're making me think. I believe that Commander Keen has been the first computer game I ever played.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Other than maybe like Jeopardy.
Yeah, some
kind of
those
old games like that.
Weird thing or something like that.
Yep. Could have been the first game I actually was hooked on and probably beat.
Yeah. Well, it was released as shareware initially, and then they charged money for people who bought the next like episode or something like that.
Right.
And then reading this book, I'm like, man, I got to go find a copy of that somewhere. And, you know, Dollars says that Carmack's left it out there to be played somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to go find it. So that's, you know, free software of the week. Go look for Commander Keen and play yourself a game. Be a part of gaming history.
In a 486 emulator.
You'd have 386.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, we're talking like 90.
91, 92.
I think it was like 90.
It'd have to be earlier than that because in 1990.
Was it even?
Well, in 1990, when I came to Case, so the fall of 1990, I purchased, right shortly before that, I talked my parents into buying me a 386 SX.
Yeah, you're right. It had to be earlier than that. So we're talking
4 megs of memory.
Yeah, something, not much. 4 or 8 megs of memory and a. I want to say a third, like maybe a 60 meg. No, couldn't be. Had to be like a 30 or 40 megabyte hard drive.
Hard drive, and that was huge.
That was
a lot of porn.
Well, it wasn't huge, but I was pretty happy with it. But I realized that I should have just spent the extra few hundred dollars and gotten the 486 from the Case bookstore, which had about a 60 megabyte hard drive. But let me tell you. So 486 is basically we're out in 1990. So I mean, we're talking 386. You got to go,
yeah, 89, 90, 92.
Well, let me tell you about my, a guy who lived down the hall from me in the dorm. We ended up becoming pledge brothers, and we're still friends to this day. I went to his wedding, and he came to mine. This guy, okay, came to school. With his graduation present was a $14,000 Macintosh computer.
Ooh. The first let's see, that time frame it would have been like a GS or
let
no
me tell
more
you,
than
it,
that it'd
it,
be.
If I recall correctly, it had the letters FX on it.
Wow.
And it was a, you know, I mean, it was the size
of a suitcase.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the, you know, I mean, it the footprint was smaller than that box, but not by much.
For our listening audience, that box is about 2 foot on a side and about
it's five, about,
4 or 5
about
inches
20
high.
By 20 inches, what? I'd say. In terms of the, it was a little taller, but it was like a big kind of, flat rectangular box. It had a 32-bit color graphics card with a really very high quality color monitor.
Hmm. Was that? And it had, are you sure that was a Mac and not the,
it
was an Amiga come
was
right
a Mac.
There?
It was a Mac.
Fine.
It was a color Mac, and we would scour the net every day for anything Mac that was in color.
Yeah.
There was nothing. Mm. There were like 2 or 3 games total that you could find that were color. This was like one of the first like color Macs. And this thing had it was a mind-blowing 340 megabyte hard drive. I mean, he told me that. I'm like, you're full of shit. And we like went to like the info or whatever, and boom, there it was.
Amazing.
Let me just
and
tell
here you.
You
are in IT today.
That's where all the gifts got stored. Because, okay, look, at that time, Case was the first university in the world to have every dorm room
fiber.
Every classroom and every office had fiber optic Ethernet.
Really?
Yeah.
Really. In
1990.
Yeah.
Damn.
And this was, what, a good 4 or 5 years before the web? No.
No, not before the web, but I mean, it certainly
was. Before
WWW.
1994.
I mean, there was no such thing as a web browser. Mosaic was at least 3 or 4 years away.
Mosaic came out in 93, I believe.
I was gonna say yeah.
Because we were using
my
buddy John
AOL
Kane.
In late 94.
My buddy John Kane showed me John Kane, who he showed me Mosaic, and it was amazing. We were going to these various websites and checking out. Basically, it was just pages with links, you know, and just kind of understanding the concept of links. Like you see a link and you click on it and it takes you somewhere else and then you can over there there's more links and take you
somewhere else.
And it keeps going and going.
The web was boring.
However, Mosaic was missing one crucial element.
It could not display graphics at that point in time.
I don't think that's true. I think it could.
What was it missing then?
A stop button.
Ah.
If a website wasn't there, and believe me, plenty weren't. And some were there one day, and they weren't there the next. You had to wait for the timeout, some 60 or 90 seconds.
Oh, that's infuriating.
And so as soon as you saw that the page wasn't rendering, you're like, oh, man. So your choice was kill the program.
Right.
Like,
hard.
Force quit, you know, the program, or wait.
Hmm.
But, like, we went to Yahoo. Yahoo was just a big old page of links.
Mr. Irv, Mr. Irv, you mean there was no tabbed browsing back then?
Son, that was...
Chef. Children.
That wasn't even... I don't have a joke. But before Mosaic came out, all we did was mess around with FTP and Gopher.
Yep.
And FTP, really, we would just go to like Stanford and Washington University of St. Louis and places like that that had a lot of public, you know, archives of stuff. And we would find all kinds of weird things. And every now and then, find some pictures of naked people. And that was that's what we were looking for.
Well, I remember when we stumbled across the poker games. Or strip poker in, you know, what was it, 256 color?
You know, Commodore 64 had a very effective, I think it was by a company called, I want to say like Artworks or something like that.
It rings a bell.
And it was a pretty good looking strip poker game. I mean, the girls, you could kind of, I mean, you could see it, you know. The graphics on the Commodore 64 were awesome. Let's all just agree on that.
Anyway, so, gaming history lesson over. If you're a newbie to computer gaming, or computers in general, go read about some of these people. The things they did were incredible.
Go buy Doom.
Well, and you saw... Have you seen the web server the guy built for Commodore 64?
No.
Some guy built a fucking web server for Commodore 64.
That's awesome.
And you have to... I don't know if it's something you can buy, but either he built or something a Ethernet adapter.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, like I think he either had to like solder it together or he. I don't know how the hell he did that. I'm gonna have to find that out because that was just off the charts, off the fucking charts.
Yeah, it was all crazy stuff, dude. Anyway, history lesson over, kiddies. Go learn something.
The C64 Ethernet cartridge. Yeah, it looks pretty...
solderable?
The TFE cartridge is designed around a Systor Vest AS CS8900A-based embedded Ethernet board. Oy. It's unbelievable.
Oy.
So how about some more tales from the dork side? I think I've got a good funny story.
What do you got?
Go ahead.
My younger brothers decided they were going to clean out their machines. They're very dusty on the inside, haven't been cleaned in years. Clearly, they're not qualified to be working on the inside of a computer yet. But there's only one way to learn, and trial by fire, which you'll see is the case in this scenario. So they just get the cases cracked open, start blowing the dust out, and realize that the dust isn't really cleaning out from inside the fins on the heat sink for the processor. So they had to get the idea that they're going to take the processor heatsink off to clean it out.
Wait. So there's dust all up in the heatsink?
All up in the heatsink. You know,
they're going to take it off.
So they decide to take the heatsinks off their processors. They both have their own machines.
Okay.
So Tony gets his off, no problem, cleans it out. Aaron goes to pull his heatsink off of the processor and proceeds to pull the processor out of the socket. It was stuck to the heatsink.
That's not... by design.
Right. I've never seen that before. So then he calls me back and says, hey, my processor won't go back down into the heatsink or into the socket.
Did he rip the pins out?
Didn't pull any pins out.
Okay.
So I said, well, wait a second. You mean the processor's still attached to the heatsink? And he said, yeah, it's not supposed to be. I said, no. Remember that little silver lever on the side of the processor that you're supposed to flip up before you pull the processor out?
Yeah. He goes,
oh, no.
You forgot to do that.
So then pulled it up. Seated the whole unit, the processor, and the heatsink right back down in, closed it, and it worked like a champ for about a day and a half, and then proceeded to die.
Yeah, so, I was wondering if it was going to work or not.
So then Tony, my other brother, waited for a little while to make sure Aaron's computer was going to come and work again. Since they talked to me first, I sent him to the store. They picked up some kind of heatsink goo that he put on his and replaced the stuff that was on the processor.
Right, some sort of silicone paste or whatever.
It's not silicone. It's silver.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be. It's
silver?
Yeah.
Silicone?
No, it's not silicone.
It's heat.
Silicone's a heat insulator.
Exactly.
No, that's you.
Got to keep the processor warm.
Why do they call it silicone paste?
You don't want to. It's not silicone paste.
I don't think it's silicone.
Why do they call it that?
I don't think so. They call it thermal paste.
Maybe it's silicon.
I believe
it's thermal paste.
Oh, it is thermal paste. But so what?
Well, Arctic silver, baby. Okay.
Yep.
So words there for a reason.
Tony's machine is working fine. Matt and I picked the parts out for Aaron this weekend to build a new machine.
Yeah, did he end up buying all that stuff?
He did.
Let me just tell you, Newegg is a good website.
Newegg is the bomb.
Look, it
is
a good Arctic website. Silver 3, Shin-Etsu G751, silicone paste.
Oh, fine. Whatever.
Thermal compound.
I guess some of them are silver. Silicone paste, a generic compound applied to many heat sinks, including most graphics processors and Northbridge chipsets.
And boobies.
And boobies. Okay, fine.
Arctic Silver
whatever.
3. It's composed of 99.9% micronized silver.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Nanotherm Blue 2 is a unique nanocomposite multi-ceramic thermal interface compound that contains a special blend of engineered materials including boron nitride, aluminum oxide, aluminum nitride, and other nano powders.
Don't lick that stuff, kids.
Nanotherm
no
silver.
No sniffing it either. It's not model glue, damn it.
Go back to the Freon.
And silver grease.
Anyway, the point is that, there was no way that was going to work after he yanked it out.
I was surprised that it booted back up.
Weakened the solder, connections, did something, whatever.
So now he's invested into an SLI motherboard with a dual-core processor and 2 gigs of memory, all for less than $300.
Yeah.
A what?
Dual-core. It's Athlon, 2.5.
AM2.
Yep, AM2. An SLI motherboard from Gigabyte.
SLI means that he can ultimately run 2 graphics cards in there to output to a single or multiple video display devices.
Just want to say.
That.
After day one. Of these PCs running idle and the side-by-side thermal paste comparison.
Yeah.
Like all the interesting ones were at 42 degrees Celsius or lower.
Right.
The silver grease was at 45 degrees, and the silicone compound was at 47.
See, silicon is the shit. You don't want it.
No, it's not the shit.
It's shit.
Shit.
Sorry, forgot about that.
It's good enough.
Whatever.
Just rub some sand on there.
It's like goo. There you go. So.
Don't forget to put it on, though. I did that when I built my first Athlon Thunderbird processor machine and fried that shit right out of there.
Well, I think a lot of times when you buy the retail boxed CPU, the heatsink has the glue on the bottom of it already.
Yes.
Yes,
it usually has tape on it, and I've actually seen somebody put the heatsink on and forget to take the tape off.
Plastic transmits heat well, too, right?
Yeah, not so much, and it makes a really bad smell when it burns. Mm. Releases all kinds of dioxins and cancer-causing agents into the air.
Well, I had at one time a Via C3. I think it was the Ezra.
Cyrix?
Yeah, well, they bought Cyrix.
Yeah.
And so it was a Via, the Via 800 megahertz chip that was the first, fanless chip. All you had to do was put a heat sink on there, and it basically ran at such a low voltage. And so I used it initially for my very first, so quote unquote, silent media PC. And it was just powerful enough to decode DivX 4,
On the fly.
But man, was it dicey.
I've started to talk about websites of the week. I've been frequenting the small form factor because I'm into the micro computers are about micronization, make things smaller. I don't want a 4-foot tower case sitting on my desk or whatever. Anyway, so I've been hitting the small form factor boards and checking shit out, and Epia just released a nice embedded processor board that goes fanless, and they're up to
spell
one
please
EPIA.
Oh, I guess I gotta figure that out.
They're I think it was 1.3 gigahertz they're running that processor.
The European Photovoltaic Industry Association?
No, that's not it. Anyway, one of the websites I've been going to is sfftech.com.
Small form factor tech.
Yeah. That one and Sudian, Sudhian.
Have you decided what you're going to run on this new machine? Which OS?
I want, and it pains me to say this, But I want to run Vista just to gain the experience of running it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am concerned that I will get fucked by Microsoft because they've got an issue. They've got an issue now.
Never.
If you switch video cards, then it'll deactivate your version.
Ooh, nice.
Not give you a warning, and it's then all of a sudden,
then you just have to call and you tell them.
Oh, calling Microsoft is like calling the government. You get put on hold and wait.
The activation.
Actually, not bad.
Activation is a separate line. It's a whole separate area, and it doesn't take long.
The first company I worked for, all of the software was
bitches.
Oh, well, then what are you doing here?
Because this is precious to me.
Oh, good.
The first company I worked for, every version of Windows except for maybe two were pirated, and I always had to call Microsoft and say, oh, I reinstalled onto this machine.
Yeah.
Knowing full well that it's running on 70 other machines out in the factory.
Oh, I've got a copy. So I mean, I have Sherba? XP. I should probably stick with that. But.
No, I wasn't.
To remain nameless.
It wasn't.
I wasn't.
Anyway, I think I'll be able to run this mostly fanless, even the one that I'm looking at, for not much bigger than the size of a toaster.
What about the power supply? No fans?
They do make fanless power supplies. And
quite
I get ones that are awfully quiet, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with a very quiet one.
With a big fan.
But I'm also not over-specking my power supply.
Okay.
It's enough to run all the shit that's going to be in there. But not, you know, it's not a machine that I'm going to, like, add three
right.
video cards or, you know, 14 RAID arrays to or anything like that. So 380 watts is just about what I need. Fine. Maybe a little bit less.
And you'll be able to find something that'll fit into
already
your
found
case?
It.
Really?
Yep. In fact, it's one of those new 80-plus certified power supplies. I can't remember who made it, though, which means that it's greater than 80% efficient.
Efficiency's high?
Yeah, converting the AC to DC, I think it
yep.
is. Yeah, AC to DC. Irv's listening to old episodes of General Hospital over there.
An apple pie from scratch.
What basically somebody did was they took a Carl Sagan monologue from like some show that he did, and they've basically just dubbed it over the scene where Agent Smith talks to Morpheus in The Matrix, where Morpheus is handcuffed to the chair and he tells him how humans are a virus and stuff.
Yes.
So I guess we could take a look at that. That's The Matrix versus Carl Sagan on YouTube.
Nice.
So I guess
Shane's
you can,
YouTube clip of the day?
Well, I guess that could be Shane's YouTube clip of the day. The other one is if you go to brightcove.tv.
Cool.
Brightcove.tv, and you search, I guess, for Hollywood Girl Fight Part 1352. Well, this is Hollywood Girl Fight, and basically what happens is that some girl goes to Hollywood, or like LA, and she's like, she's only been there for like a month, and I guess some girls were like met, like talking some shit to her or whatever, and she told them to like to fuck off and leave her friend alone or whatever, and they went ape shit and were screaming at her and trying to hit her or whatever, and somebody came along and, you know, it didn't amount to anything. But I guess the reason my friend sent it to me was because, I guess it, well, why don't we just listen? It's only a minute long.
I just moved here like 1 month ago. I have no idea what to expect from this city. I just moved here. These girls over here, all I said was, don't talk to my friend. And they went crazy on me. Like, honestly, they were just like, oh my God, you're such a slut. Oh my God. Like, really? Is that what I have to expect from LA?
Yes.
Like, this is the norm?
Well, you know what?
No, but like this isn't funny. Like, really? Like, it's not even cool. Like, okay, you're a talker. Like, I'm a real person. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Home of the
like,
real.
Don't bitch me out because you're crazy and drunk. Like, oh my God.
Nice. Your God can't help
you. So there
me
you
now.
Go. That's why she sent it to me, because the
that
girl's from
cool.
Cleveland, Ohio. And she's pretty hot, too.
She is pretty hot.
She's clearly not from Cleveland. She's probably from Shaker.
She wouldn't admit.
Well,
she's from the Cleveland area.
Yeah. You don't go to LA and say I'm from Pepper Pike, Ohio. You say I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
That's true.
You don't say I'm from Lakewood, Ohio. You say I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. You might say I'm from Akron,
Cracker.
Youngstown,
Dayton,
Columbus. Cincinnati, Columbus, Toledo. You might even say Sandusky. You might say Zanesville, Marietta,
Perry.
West Millgrove.
You might say
maybe Toledo.
You might say Cleveland Heights.
Toledo.
I said Toledo already.
Did you?
Where they make the swords.
Toledo.
Spain.
España. Anyways, I thought that video was pretty good. So that's kudos to our dear friend Amy Lee.
Oh, so how far down the line do you think that girl is in the video? How many degrees of separation are there?
Hell is vibrating.
Wouldn't you like to know?
It's not me, dude.
It's in my jacket.
Oh.
I don't care.
Just leave it alone.
Okay. Dan's jacket is now animated.
If it starts to dance, I'm going to leave.
Dan, how do you like your envy?
I do. You should all be envious
of your envy.
Oh, no, I got an iPhone, bitch.
I'm not stuck with AT&T.
What is it? What can it? I mean, can it do everything? What kind
Whatever
of browser does it have in it?
It's the standard Verizon browser. The name escapes me at the moment, but it's not full fledged quite like the iPhone. It gets the Hotmail, it gets the Yahoo Mail, and it also can get to AOL Mail. So that pretty much covers my needs, since I have Gmail.
You see that Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer said that the company's attitude towards search during the Web 2.0 summit last week. He thinks that while Microsoft's search efforts are still young, they have a serious chance at overtaking the big guys in a few years. And he said, Microsoft Search will, quote, dunk every other guy someday.
Whatever.
Does he really believe that?
No, it's all marketing speak. Come on. Everybody says their shit is higher than the other.
We can't get Google Talk or the Google search bar to work, but we can get the MSN Live search.
What do you mean? Who can't get the Google search bar to work?
You can't get the
Google. We can't get it at work.
At work.
You can't install it.
Correct.
Right.
So I could go around back doors and install it, but I'm not going to go through that trouble. So I have to use the live search bar. And every time I do that, I find myself browsing to Google because Google is so much better than MSN's live search.
Can't you install Firefox at work or you can't do that either?
You can, but they have it all locked down, so you can't browse with it.
God, I even managed to get around that one.
They're good. I haven't tried that since. You can't browse with what? Firefox.
Huh.
So I have subversed the rules, and I now use IE7, so at least I have tabs.
Mm. Yeah, that's better than
But like iPhone. The can you get the Yahoo toolbar?
You can change the search functionality in IE7.
Yeah. So you can change your default search engine to Google.
To Google.
Really?
And make the little window at the top, you can make it Google.
Mm. Yes.
You at least try.
Well, you don't need
unless
the
they've locked
bar.
Down that registry entry or something.
They may have. So.
But speaking of registry entries, I found a registry entry that you did you know that you can connect to another registry?
Absolutely.
Yes, remote. Yes.
Okay.
Connect remote registry.
Yeah.
Okay.
The RMI service does that.
What?
RMI service.
Oh, okay. Well, so you can connect to someone else's registry, and there's a key that turns terminal services on and off.
Yes.
So, like, if you have somebody's XP machine.
I have seen
XP
this hack. I've used this hack before.
You're like trying to do some remote support, and they don't have it set up, and they're not there, or whatever. You can you just somehow get to their registry. So, like, for instance, let's say you can get into like the main server someplace, but you need to get into one of the client computers, and either you don't feel like walking them through it or whatever. You just go into their registry, turn it on, and
no reboot required.
No reboot required.
I have a hack at home that allows you to connect to more than two computers, two terminal services.
All right. I have tried several times to make that work.
Wait.
And I have never made it work.
Connect more. What do
you can
mean?
Have more than one person connect to terminal services on a Windows XP Pro box. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly.
In other words.
Yeah, I've seen it documented.
I've never been able to make it work
in my machine at
home. Did you make it work?
Did you see the DLL hack where you have to replace the DLL?
Yes, precisely.
I've never made it work. I tried it, and it would not work.
Matt's militant about his privacy, so.
Yeah, I am. me and Neil Peart, baby.
That's right.
We're militant. Privacy.
I don't think there's anything to worry about it. I've had it for 3 years, and I've had no issues.
Hmm.
I still have my identity. You can't take it from me.
I'm not worried. He's really not worried about that.
Right.
You know, what actually concerns me is that, you know,
stability
over time, that DLL has been updated, changed, and you know, and whatnot. So you're forcing a previous version into the machine, and there could be unintended consequences. You know, I just wasn't willing to risk that. I don't care. As soon as I build this new machine anyway, I'm going to turn my other one into
most
a Linux
home users
box, so it's not going
to
matter.
Would never need it. Yeah. I would never do it to a enterprise class server, but for my home machine, because I found it one day, I threw it on there.
Well, I've tried. I never made it work.
And there, I think, if I remember right, the reason that I found this was I had set up, I would log onto my machine and leave it on all the time at home.
Yeah.
And I'd found a tunnel out of one of the previous places I worked at and set it up so I could remote into my desktop from
the work.
From the office, but still have that log on and stay there.
Yeah.
So,
Matt, I'm looking here at Slashdot. You mentioned that if you change the video card,
yes,
Vista may deactivate itself.
Yes.
Well, guess what?
What? They fix it?
Updating a device driver can trigger it also.
I'm
fucking,
you know what?
Fucking Vista.
It's the same way with XP, though, wasn't it?
It was not.
When XP first came out, they went through the same thing.
You had to make like some wholesale fucking changes, like a motherboard or something. Like big changes. Big changes to deactivate Windows XP. Okay. I've almost that's only happened to me one time.
Yeah,
and
I
have
done
so much work with Windows XP, and it's only happened to me one time. Yeah. So.
Thank God for the MSDN.
Oh.
Yeah, no doubt.
Actually, I have to tell you.
On air?
That the best thing you can have is the old VLK.
Mm-hmm.
The VLK, or even better, is if you can get your hands on one, is a corporate edition which
has no key
and doesn't need to be activated because you can't activate 2,500 copies at some office of GE or something or whatever, some GE facility. You're not going to go around every time. No, you're not. You're ghosting machines.
2,500.
You're deploying fleets of that are pre-ghosted by CDW or something.
Right.
And you've got your your corporate licenses or site licenses. Well, I don't even think they do site licenses anymore. But you've got your bulk license and everything. You can get your hands on those.
You're the man.
Well, you know, you never have to worry about
the man.
Well, I mean, I don't think, I'm sure nothing is foolproof.
Right.
But do you know what a VLK is?
I know what VLK is.
Okay.
I have,
I know somebody
that has
some
knowledge about those kind of things.
As I was,
something tells me that I may have the same one as some other people I know.
I certainly wouldn't have one of those.
I know that I used to have one from somewhere. Let's just get off the topic. Is this thing on?
Is the government on?
Anyone? Luckily, no one's listening.
Perfect.
We have had approximately zero listeners.
So no, nothing from our buddy in Michigan.
Tim Wurzel?
Yeah. Yeah.
No bare metal question. No,
really?
Metal. I don't know. Maybe there's just no problems right now.
Maybe.
I mean, he was on a pretty good roll there of having something get fucked up.
Every week. I felt bad for the guy, really.
It was like, fucking not even like freaking USB pen drives would fucking work.
Yeah, but see, if he's playing Team Fortress 2 now, then he's done for a while.
I downloaded
Half-Life 2
last night.
Did you load it up? And
not yet.
Look at it?
Cool. I'm in the process of converting all my Apple iTunes, the AAC files into MP3s at the moment.
Yeah.
So my machine is indisposed.
Yeah.
I don't have any games.
Which
I have Minesweeper.
I have another
Minesweeper.
Tales from the Dark Side.
Or maybe let's hear it.
It's not really Tales from the Dark Side, but this is something we can discuss. So
okay.
Aaron bought the new motherboard.
Yeah.
It's got six serial ATA 2 ports. Three. Serial ATA 2.
Oh.
3 gigabytes per second.
Yeah.
Or okay. Gigabits
three
per second.
Gigabits per second.
His hard drive is SATA 1.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about this.
So I was trying to find some documentation today so I could walk him through converting the motherboard to support the old drive.
Uh-huh.
Is it the motherboard that takes the jumpers, or is it the hard drive that you have to put the jumpers on?
What for cable select or whatever?
No,
it's
a SATA drive.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's not
the drive is 150. The ports on the board are 300.
Yeah.
What kind of compatibility issues am I going to run into?
None.
I think it just won't automatic.
I just don't think it'll be automatic. I think it'll drop down to.
But I would also say that I thought he said he'd be willing to get another.
He did.
Oh, he bought another one.
He didn't buy a drive yet.
Oh, he didn't. Okay.
But he would.
He would.
Yeah.
But I mean, SATA 2 drives are so cheap. I'm just going,
But it's
run that as long as you can. And if there's issues, tell them to buy another one.
There won't be any.
You think we're going to be fine?
It's totally fine. It's kind of like putting. It's like mixing memory speeds or whatever. It's, like, it's just going to drop down to the lowest common denominator, okay. And that's all, I think.
Actually, I just saw a SATA-based DVD burner. It was like, oh, yep, that's coming around.
But still, what's the point of having a DVD burner on SATA? I mean, it's nice because your case won't be so full of cables, but
right. The
cable obviously can outrun the speed of the drive anyways.
Well, yeah, either way it could, but
right. It's
less interfaces to run on the machine. And the
ribbon
flat cables
that
are,
you know,
and in a small form factor
thing.
Where you don't have a lot of room, smaller cables are. Yes.
Yes, you do have to be pretty
clever,
careful with the cabling in those small form factor machines. I mean,
indeed.
So, would you put your money where your mouth is on the SATA 1.5 drive working with the 3.0?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure. Because I believe I have that going upstairs right now, actually.
Okay.
I think I have SATA 2 ports, but I have SATA 1 or whatever, right, original SATA drives running because I got a bunch of them to do RAID 5,
right. So
I went cheap. I just wanted space. I didn't want performance because it's just for storage and it was going to be plenty fast. And then I have a I installed a PCI SATA controller card for the OS, and I got a 10K SATA. Actually, those 10K SATA drives are SATA
Raptor.
1. They're not SATA 2.
The Raptor?
The Raptor, but they're faster anyway.
The Raptor.
That was a Raptor?
Ka-ka!
No, that's a freaking bird of paradise. That's a fucking parrot or some shit.
I think a Raptor's more like
Ka-ka! Or oh, that's my son crying because he's just
he's scared of the raptors in the basement.
Yeah. My son having no interest in the Natural History Museum because he's afraid of fucking dinosaurs. You prick.
We could do Chewbacca.
Speaking of Chewbacca, my cousin. you look like Obadiah. Like Jebediah, something ending in Badiah. Jebediah, Obadiah.
Jebediah.
Your cousin,
who
looks like Chewbacca.
My cousin, no.
Is she hot?
Actually, do you want to know who my cousin used to look a little? Actually, not in the body, just in the face. Something about the face. And I told her, and she got all pissed off because she's like, all my friends keep saying that shit, and it's really pissing me off. But she just, her face, for some reason, just looked a lot like
Chewbacca.
Shrek's wife when she's a ogre.
Okay. I haven't seen Shrek, so.
You never saw Shrek?
I haven't.
Dude, Shrek is hilarious.
He's a communist in his basement.
Hilarious. I'm telling you. That movie's both of them. Shrek and
really?
Shrek 2. They're both fantastic.
2 wasn't fantastic.
Yes, it was. It was excellent.
First one was better.
Maybe.
Yes,
a little
definitely.
Fresher, but I mean, the second one was strong.
Did you see the third one?
No, but I heard it was great. I haven't seen it yet. But the second one was excellent, too. I mean, it had, what a cast. I mean, it had, like, Jennifer Saunders and Rupert Everett and John Cleese and
Antonio Banderas.
You
looking at me?
playing Puss in Boots, right?
Exactly.
But, I mean, the first one, I'm telling you.
Classic.
The first one.
Eddie Murphy.
It's
classic.
It's phenomenal.
Yes, absolutely.
I think the last cartoon movie that I watched was Nemo.
Well, that's a great movie, too.
It was.
That's a great movie.
I have Shrek if you want to borrow it.
Yeah.
Nemo, it's like you watch Nemo, and there's a couple of scenes in that movie that just
makes you all teary eyed.
Tug at your heartstrings. You know, the thing that hurt me the worst in that movie was not like, thinking Nemo was dead or whatever the fuck or all that shit, all that Albert Brooks sweepy shit. It was when Albert Brooks' character, Nemo's father, swam away from Dory.
Oh, Ellen DeGeneres, the little, yes. little blue clownfish, yes, or yes. little blue fish, whatever it was,
yes.
swam away from her, and she gets lost. She doesn't remember she doesn't who she go. Is, and she's just, you know, it's just swimming around forwards. This little yep. pole or chain or whatever, and she doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Yep.
And that made me really upset. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Hmm. Yeah.
I got really upset by that.
Her character was one of the best characters in that movie.
Yeah, for sure. She was hilarious.
Ooh, it's dark down here. Are you my conscience? Yes, I'm your conscience.
It was funny.
Yeah, good stuff.
I never saw Ratatouille, and I never saw The Incredibles.
I own The Incredibles. I will let you have that.
I think I have it, actually.
I saw Ratatouille. It was very good.
I think I have The Incredibles. I've never seen it.
Dude, that's a sin. It's a great movie. It's easily on par with Nemo. Easily.
You know what?
One
of my personal favorites is Monsters, Inc.
Absolutely.
I think Monsters, Inc. John Goodman, is as strong.
Who is the guy?
Billy Crystal.
That's right.
Mike Wazowski. And who played their arch enemy? The other scare?
The chameleon guy.
Yeah.
Who was it? I don't know.
Steve Buscemi.
Mr. Pink.
Yes.
Mr. Pink. Steve Buscemi. Who also uttered one of the, I got shot in the fucking face in Fargo. this is so fucking great.
And he's in a cartoon now.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That movie. I love Fargo.
You shot Marvin in the face.
That was a good one.
I love Fargo.
Yeah, that was good too.
That was a good movie too.
What?
You must have hit a bump or something. The gun went off.
Pulp Fiction. You know? Oh, so man. I love how he's talking to him, and he's like leaning over the back seat. He's just got the gun resting on the seat, and all of a sudden, pow! The whole back windshield is red goop. That whole movie was unbelievable.
Be cool, just honey be cool,
bunny. Honey bunny. I love tell that bitch to be cool. Everything's cool, honey bunny.
This coffee is delicious. This must be some gourmet shit. I know I have to say, the only thing wrong with that movie is the fact that. Quentin Tarantino cast himself in the movie. He was awful.
He wasn't awful. He was great.
No. He was awful. He was awful because, first of all, he wasn't like believable. Like he's not like directing himself anyway. He's not he was not a good actor at that point in his life. Let's put it that way. He may have gotten better because his turn in From Dusk Till Dawn, when he was very good, but in that particular role he was bad. I think maybe what happened was that they just, you know, maybe they came up, maybe they just needed to film the scene and they didn't have anyone, or maybe he decided I want to be in the movie, but he was bad. And when he, pardon my French, but when he says dead nigger storage, it's as non-believable. Like all of a sudden I'm like, ugh, who says that? Who talks to people like that? You know, nobody.
Dude, they woke him up at 6 a.m. You know, he's grumpy and.
Yeah, but
dead body to his house. Really, I mean, what the fuck?
Are you telling me he's
turning into the movie down here?
You're telling me this guy who. You ever hear that joke? What has two thumbs and anything? This joke starts with what has two thumbs and like loves to eat pussy or whatever. This guy.
Like that. That's a great pickup line. Yeah. We have to try to use that.
You do that.
Yeah, right.
Here's another one. How much does Jesus love you?
This much.
Oh, Irv, that's so sweet.
Okay.
Oh.
Excuse me. So
that was a great
What I'm saying is are you telling me this guy who's just some guy, he's married, you know, in his little house in the suburbs, and he's married, and he's talking to, saying dead nigger storage to Jules?
Why not?
Why not?
You don't know anything about his history, so yeah, maybe there's a hole there, but
they should have just gotten a better fucking actor. How did he know Mr. Wolf
in the first place if he knew who the hell he was, or these dudes knew him, then he might have been a criminal and gone straight or something.
In that case, you're right. And given
the Bonnie situation, maybe she straightened his shit out.
But he doesn't play it that way. Quentin Tarantino cannot pull that off. He doesn't seem like a former criminal. He seems like a computer nerd, which is kind of what Quentin Tarantino is, like a comic books and movie geek nerd. He's not
this former criminal type. Who could we have cast in this little cameo? I mean, you've got a little cameo with Harvey Keitel, you know, as Winston Wolfe. You know, you've got little cameo, really small roles like Ving Rhames, I guess, has kind of a bigger role because, you know, he's in a particular scene
Wallace.
Horrible. Marcellus Wallace.
Yeah.
They could have cast 100 different people.
He has
one
of the greatest lines, though.
Your I'm LA gonna, privileges?
I'm
gonna
get some, no, the other one. I'm going to get medieval on. Some hard ass niggas to come down here and get medieval on this. I forget what he calls them.
Get medieval
poor
on
redneck your motherfucker or something like that.
Your LA privileges are revoked. Yeah. Something like
you
that.
You leave now.
My favorite line, I think, in the whole movie is when Marcellus Wallace tells Jules that he's sending the wolf.
The wolf, yeah.
And he's like, you feel better now? And with Samuel Jackson is like, shit Negro, that's all you had to say. Like that. I just love the way he says that shit. That makes me laugh every time. I love that. And yeah, so I don't know. I just feel like Quentin Tarantino, I think it's just a mistake. You know, really, it's a great movie.
It still is.
And I love, you know, like, he was smart enough not to put himself in a fucking Kill Bill, which I love.
Really?
Which one do you like better? Or are they equivalent?
I love them both.
Okay.
I love the first one because it has just some of the fucking greatest fight scenes and just some ridiculous, just amazing scenes.
Yeah. Awesome.
I love the second one. I think has the whole training with what's his nuts.
Mm-hmm.
The grasshopper dude.
China.
The fucking, you know, the guy on the top of the hill. Pai Mei is his name. Right?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
His name's Pai Mei, motherfuckers. And also the scene where, she, you know, the scenes with Bud at Bud's trailer, they bury her alive, is the most unbelievable scene. It's one of the most, that whole deal is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then his whole confrontation with Daryl Hannah, Daryl Hannah reading the fucking thing about the snake and everything. And then the fight between Daryl Hannah and Uma Thurman in the trailer is the most unbelievable.
I remember that
fight.
Too.
And the way that it ends is the most incredible, one of the most incredible moments. And you know what? You know what makes it so great? And this is why Tarantino belongs behind the camera, not in front of the camera, because he gets these great performances from his actors. Daryl Hannah's reaction to having her other eye yanked out is perfect. I mean, what else would you do but freak out and flail around and go completely bananas? Can you even imagine having one eye and then having it yanked out of you? What happens then inside your mind? What do you see?
Blood.
I mean, you're still going to see things. Everything's not just going to go black.
You think
black.
So?
Yeah,
I don't think you would see anything because
you see stuff when you close your eyes.
That's not
the
same.
But your rods and your rod.
My rod and my cone.
Your rod and your cone are no longer connected to your optical nerve.
Yeah, which means there's nothing. I mean, maybe if it short circuits across the top of the optical nerve, you might see some residual flashes.
Yeah,
of
I think you're
going to
see stuff.
On or off.
Yeah.
Binary vision.
I think your brain
is the matrix.
It's going to be like you know, like the people get phantom pain, you know, when they like lose a limb. And
phantom vision?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like naked
Why
girls?
Not?
That's
I mean,
what I have.
You've been seeing for your whole life. It's one thing, maybe, if you haven't ever seen.
Okay.
And your optic nerve never, that whole part of your brain never really developed or whatever because you never saw, maybe. I'm talking out of my ass right now.
We're all optical surgeons, so, I mean, clearly.
Well, I'm a, you know, ophthalmologist.
Ophthalmologist.
I see fucking dead people. That's what I'm saying. Anyway.
I get these emails all the time from Dove Bid Auctions. You ever see that?
We are getting killed spam-wise on the Dial-A-Dork address.
We are?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Amazon.
I empty my spam filter, and it's always to Dial-A-Dork.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
I get them all the time.
A folder, but yeah, I get them all the time.
Oh. Well, whatever.
Do you ever empty your spam filter or look at it?
Well, I have the email address right on the website, so.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're going to do something about that.
Dove Bid auction. They do like big auctions.
D-O-V-E dove?
Like D-O-V-E bid. They do like big auctions of like, you know, plants that are closing and stuff. So they have a JDS Uniphase surplus test lab production and facility assets from the worldwide leading provider of broadband test and measurement solutions and optical products. Featured items, an emerald coater, an optical gauging contour projector, Oxford Institute plasma lab system.
We need all that stuff.
A Westbond wire bonder.
Do they have a plasma rifle in a 66-watt range?
They have a
I need a BFG 9000.
They have a KO Lee wafer saw and an Agera.
Hey, that might be fun.
Agera or Agera bias aging test chamber.
Agera.
That's in California. In Ottawa, they have some spectrum analyzers, some fusion splicers, a wavelength tunable laser diode sources.
Dude, we could reverse the polarity on that shit and make ourselves an enterprise.
Universal counters, microscopes, DMMs, function arbitrary waveform generators, DC. Agilent lightwave multimeters.
Speaking of Agilent lightwave multimeters, I was reading this article on Wired, of all places, of this guy who tried to do the cannonball run across the U.S.
I heard about this as
in
well.
In a short time, and he pimped out his BMW M5 with the ultimate in geek wear.
Airplane spotters.
All kinds of
things. Airplane spotters?
Do you know what the cannonball run is?
The movie?
Well, yes, the it's movie. Probably indeed, it was...
So it's from New York to L.A. in 32 hours or less.
Yeah, well, the record was 32:07.
Yeah.
He said he'd beat it, and he did it in, what, 29-something?
No, he gave up.
No.
Did he finish it?
Read the whole article?
Yeah, I haven't read the article, period.
Yeah,
he heard from friends.
Oh, no. Go to Wired. Search for or Google Wired Cannonball Run. I'll probably bring up the article.
So you have to average over 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
For the whole trip.
No, you need to average 90 to beat the record. Yeah.
And across the U.S. Stop for
starts in New York, ends in
it stops for gas.
The shining sea to
sea to shining sea.
Yes.
And I've heard some outtakes from the story. And I guess the last few miles as he's going through downtown L.A., he was doing 140 miles an hour.
Really?
He had four or five failed attempts and then finally did it.
Okay.
And then, and I loved it. Ohio is still well
Ohio
known
is
as the worst fucking state for speeding.
He said that?
That's what he says.
Yeah. It was the Ohio State Troopers.
They have been fucking everywhere. The last few days, the highways are lousy with speed traps. It's unbelievable. I don't know what. What the fuck?
Because they're not getting enough taxes from
end of the
us,
fiscal
so they
year.
That's exactly at the part of the income.
End of the fiscal year.
What the hell?
They need to generate income for the state since we can't bring in real jobs, and real companies.
No, it's because all the money that is coming in is going to corrupt. You know
that too.
Is this it? This Wired about Alex Roy?
That sounds right.
The pedal to the metal, totally illegal cross country sprint for glory.
Yes. You need to.
Polizia.
You need to read that.
We should soup up a car and do it.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
I'm going to go home and read the story.
20
so.
Packs of Nat Sherman Classic Light cigarettes. Breath mints, glucose and guarana, Visine and riboflavin, Gatorade and Red Bull, mail order porta pissoir, bags of quick hardening gel. So he's not stopping to go to the bathroom.
Apparently not.
He stopped to get gas.
20-gallon reserve fuel tank, Randolph Highway Patrol sunglasses, Casco 8x40 binoculars fitted with a Kenyon KS2 gyro stabilizer. What the fuck?
I told you, man.
Hummer H1 style bumper mounted L3 Raytheon night driver thermal camera and LCD dashboard screens. Front and rear mounted sensors for a Valentine. So he's using a Valentine 1.
Yes.
You read the ads about that and they're like, this is the best. And this guy's using one, so it's got to be.
All right.
Flush bumper mount blinder M40 laser jammers.
What time is it?
Redundant Garmin Street Pilot 2650 GPS units. Pre-programmed unit and police radio scanners, ceiling mount unit and CB radio with high gain whip antenna. Check.
It's awesome. The story is great. It's like 5 pages long.
Wow.
Yeah, you got
to
read it.
Email it to us, Irv. I guess I could go find it myself.
Just Google Cannonball Run and it's about
somewhere on there.
10 results.
Cannonball Run.
Look for
and
the
Wired.
On Wired. Yeah, it's Wired.com. They had the article.
this guy is. Holy shit. I mean, how the fuck? What kind of... What does that do to, like, your battery? The ozone?
What battery?
Now, having all these devices, all these electric devices.
You probably have to have a heavy-duty alternator to provide an extra voltage.
Yeah.
The battery doesn't provide juice while you're running. It's all provided by the alternator.
Okay. Yeah. So
you just buy an oversized alternator for your machine, for your engine, and you're good to go. It's just like power supply for a computer, you know?
Or a lot of mice.
Yeah, buy something a little bit more powerful, you got the extra wattage available.
Wow.
And besides, think about it. All those toys and gadgets and whatnot are all pretty low-power devices.
Okay, fine.
I think the alternator in my truck has 135 amps.
Sounds about right.
So. 135 amps.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of amps.
It's a lot of juice.
Yeah, I think mine's only like 80.
I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
Mine couldn't. It may not be that big, but it's. I want to say that it is.
At the core of his
V6 and
at the true. Core of his plan. You know. Listen to this. At the core of his plan are his beloved spreadsheets. Roy, with the help of a car crazy former New Jersey Transportation Department employee named J.F. Musial, has spent months loading Excel documents with the coordinates of all night gas stations and open stretches of highway and weather projections. Hundreds of data points arranged on an XY axis so that any deviation can be recalculated on the fly.
It's fucking awesome. It's an incredible story.
I imagine you really make up some time when you get over to, like, Missouri, Kansas, Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see what his route was, but I don't
think he took I-70 across, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he took I-70 a ways.
I just know that I don't think you can't just count on making up time somewhere. You got to make up time everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, for every second you're under 90 miles an hour, you need to make that up with the second over 90 miles an hour. Probably 2 seconds over. Because that's your moving average is running.
How bored do you think he is driving 65 now? You know, I drive 80 somewhere, and then I start driving 60, and then I'm like, man, this sucks. So if you're driving 140 through downtown L.A., what do you think 60 feels like out in the open road somewhere?
I've only hit 120 on the highway.
Really?
Yeah, and that was fast.
I think the fastest I've been is up close to 150 in a 1998 Firebird with nitrous. Fastest car I've ever been in. It scared the shit out of me.
Wow.
Well, that's the fastest.
150 is an awful.
We were flying.
I'm sure you were. But
I was hanging on.
I don't think that the Firebird had a speedometer that they went that fast.
No, it does. It's a Trans Am. So it's when the Firebirds came back out and they put the 350 with 350 horsepower in them.
Yeah.
And then my buddy went out and put nitrous on it as well. I want to say the speedometer went to 200, maybe 180, but we were still on the speedometer. Wow.
That's awesome.
Another time, I was exceeding the speed limit greatly. We were in a Corvette racing a Camaro, doing 130 down 199.
Ah, which is right by
where
way.
I grew up at.
That
suddenly
could have been death.
The Camaro passed us. We were going normal speed. They pulled up next to us and gave a little gas and took off.
Yeah.
And so we decided to spank them. And right as we got up to catch them, suddenly they swerved out into the other lane and passed a Fiesta that was going about 37 miles an hour.
Holy
so
shit.
So I was in the passenger seat.
Fiesta or Festiva?
Same car, different countries.
Oh, okay.
I think they actually are the same car.
Anyway, continue the story.
So we hit the brakes, kind of got a little sideways in the Corvette, and then straightened it out. We were going like 130 when that happened. Scared the bejesus out of me. Good stories, though. That was a fast car, too.
Yeah.
This is, I'm reading this article. It is, you want to talk about putting a lot of thought into this. I mean, this is a systematic approach.
This is a scientific approach to solving the problem of how do I get from coast to coast fastest possible way in a car.
But is it safe?
He's doing 140 in the city. It ain't safe. What kind of question is that?
That's a good point. I don't know where I was going with that. All right. Thus ends another night of Dial-A-Dork. I want to read this story, too.
We are out of time. We should probably wrap it up.
All right. We are out of time. And
we have business to talk about.
Indeed, we do. So
we got some business to do.
I want to thank nobody who listened. And we did the damn show, and I'm proud of us. And we'll try again. Shoot for next week, and we'll see what happens.
Next week is the night before Halloween.
Interesting. What? Like the night? Like it's the night of the
30th is Wednesday. It's the 29th.
So what happens on Halloween around here? Like, do they still do it on a weeknight, or how does that
I
work?
They do it on a week. They're doing it on a weeknight in Cleveland Heights. I don't know about Tremont, man.
I don't think Tremont has anything official.
I was disappointed last year that the kids didn't come around and smash my pumpkins.
I had to, my sister.
Want them to smash your
my
pumpkins?
Sister after and Halloween, her yes. friend, oh. when they were about, God, I don't
mess.
Know.
I don't care.
Besides, what are the squirrels going to eat if they smash the pumpkins?
I know those fuckers.
I think I was a junior in high school. And my
those
sister
are the
was
kids.
A, my sister was a freshman, and she and her friend were like, "We want to smash some pumpkins." And I'm like, "All right, look." I was like, "I'll man the house. I'll give out the candy. You guys want to go smash pumpkins? You go smash some pumpkins. You have fun. All right, just don't get caught. Okay?" And they're like, "All right, cool. We've never done this before. Let's go." So they run out the front door.
Go to the neighbor's house.
Well, like a minute later, some kids are at the door. And they're like, "Trick or treat." And I walk outside and I look to the right. They are at my next door neighbor's house, just standing there in the front yard. Just I mean, there's kids all around. There's people all around. They're just kicking the shit out of a pumpkin right in the front yard. And I'm like, "Hey, you idiots. No, not at your next door fucking neighbor, you know?" And it's like, God damn. I mean, I'm no master criminal, but even I knew that shit.
On one drunken Halloween in Bowling Green, we smashed 35 pumpkins. The last pumpkin we smashed was across the street from a big house party that was going on. And apparently the people's pumpkin that we smashed were at that party, and they proceeded to chase us through the streets of Bowling Green.
Nice.
Nice.
Did you get away or they
we
catch
did.
You?
We were fast.
Very good.
When you have like seven guys chasing two of you, you feel like Carl Lewis.
Did you have your Keds on?
Your Buster Browns?
Weren't those the shoes? These shoes make you faster or something like that?
Don't know.
I remember.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Anyway, email us if you're a spammer. Email us at dorks@dial-a-dork.com.
Yes, we can't read them all fast enough.
Yes, we read everything. I have that whole room back there full of Viagra.
In fact, he'll be giving it out for Halloween.
Full of spam.
Actually, I just want to go on the record and say that the Viva Viagra ad campaign might be the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Good. All right. I'm embarrassed to have a penis because of that fucking commercial.
But the bathtubs look so nice.
Oh, that's Cialis.
Oh, Cialis?
Yeah, that's
oh,
Cialis. That's the other one. And who wants to see that? No. And in fact, I have to tell you, I think it was Saturday Night Live did a really clever thing where when Viagra like kind of first came out, like within the first few months, they did a commercial parody about for Viagra. And it was like, you know, blah, 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 couples, whatever. And then... They show like this old guy, and he's like, "Ever since I've been taking the Viagra, you know, things between me and the missus have heated up considerably." And then basically it's just like they basically show a whole bunch of older women, and they're all just like, "Thanks a lot, Viagra." It's like always some decrepit old dude and his wife's behind
That's
him like,
awesome.
"Thanks a lot, Viagra. Thanks." You know, really pissed. That's funny. All right.
Okay,
anyway,
we're done.
Dorks at dial-a-dork.com. Go to cafepress.com/dialdork, no hyphens. And buy some shit.
That's a sensitive subject.
I think it got automatically renewed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It got automatically renewed. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that some other time. It is a sore subject. I'm a jerk. All right. I like the hyphens,
Jerky.
Up. I like the hyphens. Fuck you. Okay. Jerky. Anyway, that's it. That's the show.
Good night.
Maybe we'll see you next week.
You get all those pimps together. It was live.